I want to begin our lesson this morning with an assumption. The assumption involves something that I believe that almost everyone in here believes dearly, and it's this: God's Word is truth. We're not going to prove that. We're merely going to assume that you believe that. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." My friends, if God has revealed His truth to mankind, then each one of us as human beings are responsible to that truth. In fact, you and I have numerous responsibilities to that truth. And over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about some of our responsibilities to the truth. I believe that there is one that is first and foremost above all of them. Some might say that that is loving the truth. Others might say that is believing the truth. Some might say, well, it should be obeying the truth. But the truth is that the number one obligation of every human being is to hear the truth. My friends, until every human being hears the truth, they cannot do anything else with the truth, can they not? How do I know whether I love or hate the truth until I hear it? How do I know what God wants me to do or not do until I hear what God says? How do I know that I truly believe the things that are written until I hear what has been proclaimed? First and foremost, every human being has a responsibility of hearing the truth of God's Word. I want us to begin by noting that God communicates through the written Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Folks, that little word, inspiration, means God breathed. What we have recorded for us in this book are the words written by man. But my friend, every one of those words, before it was recorded, was first breathed by the very mouth of God Himself. Those individuals heard in their ear exactly what God intended for them to write down upon a piece of paper, if you will. And what we have inscribed in the Word of God is exactly that, the truth of God's Word. Now, there are two ways that you and I can hear the message of truth. First, we can read it for ourselves, can we not? Paul said in Ephesians 3, 3 and 4, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You do not have to hear the gospel proclaimed by another individual. Fortunately, in our society, Bibles are available by the hundreds and thousands, are they not? And every one of us probably owns more than one copy. And anytime we so desire to hear what God says, all we have to do is pick up this book and begin to read. But folks, as you read, you have the responsibility to make certain that you are listening, that you are hearing what God says. But a second way is to hear the Word of God proclaimed, isn't it? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Yes, I can read the Word of God, or I can hear the message of God's Word proclaimed. In either instance, you and I have the responsibility of hearing what is spoken. I found it interesting as I studied this lesson that there are literally a host of passages that exhort man to hear. The very first time the gospel was ever preached was in Acts, the second chapter. And when you turn to Acts chapter 2 and you begin to read, what you see is the Holy Spirit coming upon Peter and the rest of the apostles. And those individuals begin to speak forth. But I want you to listen to what Peter has to say in Acts 2 verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Wow. From the very start, from the very first time that Peter begins to proclaim the gospel, guess what he exhorts individuals to do? Hearken unto my words. Listen to what I have to say. You drop down just a few verses in Acts 2, verse 22. Peter, still speaking, says this, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Peter understands that it is absolutely essential for individuals to open up their ears and let the message of God's Word sink deeply into their minds. Hear, Peter says, hear the Word of God. Jesus knew that hearing was absolutely essential as well. In Matthew 11, verse 15, listen to what he says. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. As I look around in this audience, guess what I see? Human beings that have two ears each. Guess what? Jesus is talking to us. If you've got ears, guess what? Jesus says, I want you to hear. A little bit further in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says this, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So here he is, the very Son of the living God. And guess what he says? Hear, hear, hear. Listen to what I have to say. Folks, Jesus understood the importance of hearing the message. We find other exhortations in Scripture as well. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice. We turn to the book of Revelation. I find it interesting there that we are told also to hear. Blessed is the man that readeth and that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book and doeth the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Even the book of Revelation is to be heard by all humanity. Folks, there are at least seven passages of Scripture that we've set before you where the Bible exhorts us over and over and over again to hear the Word of God. But I find it interesting that the Bible sets forth how we are to hear. The obligations, the responsibilities that we have under this one obligation of hearing. You turn to the book of James, and James says that every one of us need to be swift to hear. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I know that James is talking about hearing the Word of God because in James 1 verse 18 he says this, Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Do you want to be born again? Do you want to be an individual who is a child in the family of God? Folks, the only way that happens is through the truth of God's Word. Therefore, it is absolutely essential, and James knew it, for us to be swift to hear. The little word swift means speedy, swift, ready, with a sense of urgency, with a sense of earnestness. Love this picture. Big old buck in the woods. Folks, how in the world do you think those bucks live for so long? They listen, don't they? You know, every so often, Man opens up a period of time wherein he can take a gun or a bow out in those woods and shoot that big dude. And guess what? He knows it, doesn't he? He's learned that over the course of time. Somebody's after me. Well, how does he preserve himself, folks? He preserves himself by listening, does he not? Have you ever seen a deer in the woods and all of a sudden they hear something and immediately they stop and that head goes up and those ears prick up and they are looking right in the direction of wherever that sound comes from? It can be the breaking of a twig, the rustling of a leaf, or the soft-spoken voice of a human being. Immediately they are listening. Folks, that is the picture of how you and I are supposed to listen to the Word of God. Today we have assembled here in order to let God speak, haven't we? That's the purpose of coming here as the body of Christ in our worship. What does God have to say for me? And folks, every one of us need to have ears that are listening, that are swift to hear, ready, eager, desirous to know exactly what God wants us to understand. Swift to hear. But notice the second obligation. Jesus says in Luke 8:18, "Take heed therefore," watch this, "how ye hear." The word "how" is an adverb of manner. In other words, Jesus says, you better be very, very careful as to the manner and the attitude and the disposition that you display when it comes to the Word of the living God. You know, there's some individuals that listen to the Word of God only to get mad. Isn't that true? I came into the office yesterday morning early. Telephone had a message on it. You got to clear that thing off because it beeps all the time if you don't. So I walked over there, pushed the button. There's a young man on there. He doesn't state his name very clearly, but he lives here in Atlantic Beach in some apartment complex here. And at first, he was very kind and very cordial until he got through with his introduction. We've sent out house to house over the course of last week, and guess what? He wasn't pleased. I've never heard such cussing. I've never heard such going on. I've never heard such mess in all my life. Even threatened to sue the Oceanside Church of Christ if we send one more of those publications to his little apartment. Can you imagine that? Here's a man who opens it up, sees what it is, and what does he do? Folks, he is not swift to hear. He's not careful how he hears. He's not even concerned whether or not he does hear. All he wants to do is get mad and get angry at what's said. That's the way some people hear. Some people hear to complain, don't they? Oh, they're listening, but they're only listening so they can complain about what's said. You know what a complaint is? A complaint is the verbalization of pain felt inwardly, isn't it? I don't like what that preacher has to say. I don't want to hear what he has to say. And so guess what? You can't keep that pain all bottled up. So guess what you have to do? You got to walk out. You got to pop off about it and start complaining. Complaint is the verbalization of inward pain. I don't like that. And there are some individuals who listen to criticize, don't they? I gave a thumbs down because those are the ones you hear about a lot of time. That's the only reason they're listening. Is this good? Is it not good? Does it make me feel good? Does it not make me feel good? Is it what I like? Is it what I don't like? And if it falls into a particular category, you'll get the thumbs down. Folks, you're not here to be entertained. You're not here to judge my speaking abilities. You are here to hear the Word of the living God. And Jesus knows that there are thousands and thousands of reactions that a person can have to the Word of God. And He says, you better take heed how you hear. Absolutely essential. Notice also that we need to take heed so that we do not have hardened hearts toward God's Word. A while ago we read Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear His voice. Listen to the very next verse. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the temptation, in the wilderness. Folks, here the writer says, I want you to hear what God has to say. Because if you don't, your hearts are going to become hardened. Just like those old Jews in the wilderness. Who in their right mind wants to be like those Jews who had to wander 40 years through the wilderness all because they refused to listen to God? God says, go into the land. It had only been about 4 months since they left Egypt. Go into the land. Take it. It's yours. And guess what? They rebel against that. And folks, over the course of time, those Jews' hearts got harder and harder and harder. The Word of God is supposed to penetrate your heart and cut it to the core. That's the desire that God has. And once that heart has been cut, God wants you at that point to react positively to His Word and do exactly what He says to do in His Word. But if we don't, guess what? Our old heart just gets hard, does it not? We hear that same lesson again and it just goes harder and harder and harder and harder, and finally we reach a point of no return. It is even impossible for God's Word to penetrate a man's heart and change it. God says that's your obligation. That's your responsibility. Don't you ever allow yourself to reach that particular point. But it's a possibility, isn't it? Watch this next one. We need to hear with discernment. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says this, take heed therefore what ye hear. And Luke 8:18, He had said, take heed how ye hear. Now He says, take heed what ye hear. Does Satan have ministers who are out in this world preaching and teaching? Oh yes, Paul makes mention of them in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 15. He says this, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness whose end are according to their works. Folks, Satan has ministers who dress themselves up and they look like they are ministers of righteousness, but they are not. They are false teachers. Paul knew all about those kind of people, didn't he? Paul was plagued by those kind of people almost every day of his ministry. And Jesus knew that those kind of individuals exist as well. He even warns about false teachers in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 beginning. Wolves in sheep's clothing, he says. Oh, they look right, they sound right, their words are smooth, they're enticing, wonderful personalities, individuals love them, a good positive message, but guess what? It is the message of the devil. We have to take heed what we hear. Those old noble Bereans were commended, were they not, for how they received the Word of God and then checked it out in comparison to the truth. More noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. We turn over to Revelation 2 and verse 3, and the church at Ephesus is commended because they tried some who said they were apostles and were not, and found them to be liars. Folks, there are a bunch of false teachers, liars, perverters of truth in the world today. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong in keeping your ears open and listening. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Despise not prophesying. It's okay to listen. But folks, you've got to listen attentively. And you've got to listen with discernment. That's why he goes on to say, prove all things. Not everything that is said today that is supposed to be religious, that is supposed to be biblical, is so. And I've got to listen with discernment. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. My friends, if it's false doctrine, you and I are not to hold on to it. Oh, it's okay to listen, see what the man's got to say, but guess what? It better be proven against the Word of the living God. When you and I stand before God in the last day, He's going to ask us, did you discern what you heard? When it comes to what you heard and the truth, that's my job. That's your job. Notice also, we do not ever need to let the Word slip away from us. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2, verse 1. I can hear something today. I can believe it. I can practice it. I can be faithful to it. And guess what? Tomorrow, I can let that very thing begin to slip away from me. And all of a sudden, I've drifted way away from the truth of God's holy and divine will. I've never known of a false teacher within the churches of Christ who just woke up one day and said this, I think I'll become a false teacher. Do you know that? He studied. And he read, and he drifted day by day by day by day. And individuals who know them, individuals who are watching them, individuals who are associated with them can see their drift, and they can't. And the same can be true with the practice of our religion, isn't it? God wants us to hear, folks, to learn and practice what He has to say. I can do that today, and then all of a sudden, tomorrow, or the next day, or next week, or next year, all of a sudden, I can find myself drifting from the things that I've heard. Five responsibilities of the hearer toward truth. There are some results of proper hearing. We could spend an entire lesson talking about these results, and folks, they're unbelievable. Did you know that? One of the results of hearing is this, my heart can be pricked. You turn to Acts 2, verse 37. Now remember, it was Peter who exhorted those individuals to hear twice, did he not? Verse 37 begins with these words, now when they heard these things, they were listening. They were doing exactly what Peter told them to do. Now when they heard these things, they were pricked in their heart. And cried unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I love it when individuals walk out and they'll say something like this, boy, preacher, you sure did get on my toes today. Aim too low. That's not where we're shooting for, folks. Shooting for the heart. If I just got your toes, your steel toes, protect those things. I'm shooting for the heart. That's what God's Word is shooting for. The heart, is He not? And these individuals had that happen to them. Folks, when you and I come in here and we have this attitude, God, you talk to me and I'm going to listen. Guess what? God's Word has the ability to enter deeply into the chambers of my heart and radically alter my life. But if I don't listen, can't do that, can it? We all are familiar with Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, if I listen to the Word of God, if I allow the Word of God to get into my heart, it produces faith deep within me. Why? Because it's truth, folks. It's real. It's reality. And now I am stronger because of what God has to say in the pages of His Word. Because I believe that, and I bank on that. I have confidence in that. And no man can move me once I truly believe it. Notice also, if you listen, you're obedient to God. today, if you will, hear His voice. Folks, that's a command. Think about that. When you and I come to this building and we really listen to what God says, when we read our Bibles and really listen to what God says, I am being obedient to my Father in heaven. Notice this next one. It opens the doors to learning. Remember I said that hearing is first and foremost with regard to our responsibilities? My friend, there has never been an individual who has ever learned the truth until he first heard it. Not one. You got to hear it. Even Jesus knew it in John 6, verse 45. He tells us that those that hear and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. You see, we first have to hear. And when we hear, then we can what? Then we can learn what God says. And lastly, it leads me to further obedience to God's will. Folks, God has made legislation about our lives in hundreds of areas, has He not? There is not an aspect of our life that God has not legislated upon in some shape, form, or fashion. And when I listen to what God says, that can lead me to further obedience to His will. I give you an example in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. A woman by the name of Lydia was just outside the city of Philippi. She gathered there in worship. Paul and his companions go out to that river and they begin to preach and they begin to teach. And the text says, "Whose heart the Lord opened." Through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, Lydia's heart was open so that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. That little word, attended, means this, to be obedient to. Now notice that. She heard first, and her hearing enabled her to what? Involve herself in further obedience to the will of God. Folks, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Go home tonight and just look up words like hear, heard, hearken in both the Old and New Testaments. And it is amazing how many times those words are there. Folks, all we've done is barely touch the hem of the garment with regard to hearing what God has to say in the pages of His truth. Let me show you what I'm talking about. John 7, verse 24, Jesus says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." We turn just a little bit further in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus tells His apostles, "He that heareth you, heareth me. He that heareth me, heareth him that sent me." Jesus understands the importance of hearing, doesn't He? We go just a little further in the pages of the Gospels. John 5, verse 24. "Whosoever therefore heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." Wow. Notice how Jesus begins. "Whosoever heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me." You can't believe until you first what? Hear. You can't have eternal life until you first hear and then believe, Jesus says. Powerful words, folks. Hebrews 12, verse 25. I love this text. "See then that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that speaketh upon the earth, much more shall we not escape if we refuse him that speaketh from heaven." Folks, don't refuse the one who speaks. Listen, hear, don't refuse him. Revelation 22, 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Folks, if you're going to come to God, you must hear. I hope when you go home this afternoon, it gets to be about 3 o'clock after you had a good lunch and wake up from your nap, and somebody asks you, "What did that preacher preach on?" I hope you'll remember. He preached about hearing the Word of God. Folks, there's only one question that we all need to answer, and it's this. Are you listening? Are you listening? And you see, that listening will manifest itself in our other obligations to the Word of God. The Bible tells us simply what we have to do to become a Christian, doesn't it? We have to hear the Word. We've already talked about that. We have to believe on Jesus as the Christ. Jesus said that you have to believe on Him that sent me. He said in John 8:24 that we have to believe Him. We also have to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. Confess His precious name, Matthew 10:32. And be immersed, baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Folks, those are the words from the truth of the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And the question that we have to ask is this: are you listening? That's the question. See, a man who truly listens will be pricked in his heart, just like those on the day of Pentecost, and they'll do exactly what God requires of them. Dear Christian, we've been fortunate, haven't we? We've heard the message, we've obeyed the message of truth, but guess what? That only further obligates us to the truth of the gospel, doesn't it? Because you see, now that's the covenant under which I have subjected myself voluntarily. Yes, I'm going to be in a covenant relationship with God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. He's now my Lord and Master. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Can you look at your life and say, I, as a sheep, am truly following the voice of my Master? Or maybe you've erred from the way. Maybe Christianity is just not that big of a deal to you. It's not as important as it needs to be. Maybe you're in sin and you need to ask God to forgive you. See then that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?